Can you all hear me okay if I get a little distance away from this thing? You probably can. I'll try not to get too far away, but
it's just there for the recording.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
You can walk around a little bit.
I'll stay. Try to stay pretty close.
I can take that.
It is a blessing to be with you all, and your prayers for us are greatly appreciated. For just a few minutes this morning, as we sort of look over the life of John the Overseer, look over his shoulder, look at his life, I want to go to Acts chapter 3 through 5 for a few thoughts. This talk, I started off calling it Leading with Boldness, and then I sort of modified that a little bit, but I'll share that modification in a few minutes. But in chapter 3, and I won't read a lot of it, just kind of share the story with you. In chapter 3 of Acts, it's a story about Peter and John when they went to the temple. You remember the story, how they went to the temple. The beggar was there asking for money, and Peter said to him, and by the way, you know, I've wondered what it was like for John. He didn't get to talk a lot when him and Peter were together, right? Seemed like Peter did most of the talking. But John was right there. Peter said to the man, "You know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And the man got up and walked, and he went back into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And then Peter and John were called before the council and were asked, what's happening here? Why are you doing this? And they said, well, if you're talking about the man that was healed, it's not us at all. It wasn't us that was doing it. It's through the name of Jesus. Of course, that's exactly what the council didn't want to hear, because, they had been part of crucifying Jesus just not long before that. So in chapter 4, verse 10, let me just read a couple verses there. That's what Peter and John were saying. They said, "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." And I was thinking, there are times that we need to step out in boldness and say some things that will not be well taken by those we're speaking to. I mean, how would you like to hear, after you had been part of having this person crucified, how would you like to sit there and have someone stand up and say, "Well, this man was healed because of this Jesus that you crucified. But he's risen from the dead." And it goes on to say, "He is the stone you builders rejected, who has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which you must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John, realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note of these men, that they had been with Jesus. I sort of like it when the Holy Spirit kind of coordinates things. And I thought of Tom's worship that we did this morning and some of the things that were talked about there. And I thought about when you said, somebody says, "I see Jesus in you." And that's neat when it comes from another Christian, but isn't it even a little neater when it comes from somebody who is totally opposed to you? I mean, they said to Peter and John, "We see Jesus in you." Now, they didn't mean to say it in a complimentary way, obviously. But even those people, the council, saw Jesus in Peter and John. There was a boldness there. Why? Because I mean, you know, John had seen Jesus there on the cross. He saw Jesus give his life. Then he saw that empty tomb. He knew that Jesus had died and risen again. And, you know, John had totally committed, I think at this time, had totally committed his life to Jesus and the cause of the kingdom and was walking in boldness. Now, notice what happened when they got back to their own people there in verse 23. Of chapter 4, there on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voice together in prayer to God, Sovereign Lord. They said, "You made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them." Let me go on down to verse 29. As part of their prayer, then they said, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." And what has always impressed me about that is they prayed totally different than most of us would pray today, because most of us would be gathered together praying, "Lord, I pray that you would protect us and give us safety." That was not their prayer. Lord, we recognize that it won't always be safe. There will be risks involved. And there are risks involved in kingdom work, even in very sheltered North America where we are. There are risks involved in kingdom work. And their prayer, and I think our prayer, should be, "Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Leading with boldness. As a conference, we can't afford to just try to do business as usual, to try to live in some kind of safety. There's an urgency, and we've talked about that in our mission statement, our commission, that there is urgency. Satan is attempting to keep people in his traps. And we are tasked by God to pray, to act with boldness, to join Jesus in destroying the devil's work. And I believe we as overseers have a leadership role in this task, in this work, in conference. And by the way, this coming Sunday is a special Sunday, right? What is it? 10-2 Sunday. An opportunity to pray for this boldness. To pray, "Lord, send laborers into the harvest." And I told at church Sunday, I said, we talked a little bit about this next week being 10-2 Sunday. And I said, you know, we're going to spend some time praying that God will send laborers into the harvest field. But there is risk involved with that, because most often when we pray, "Lord, send laborers into the harvest," He is going to tap us on the shoulder and say, "Hey, you're the one that I want to send." So I said, be ready for that. So, leading with boldness. But I kind of modified this title then to be boldness bathed in love. You see, there's a tendency, I think, and especially when it comes to this middle one, there's a tendency sometimes to be bold, but forget the love part. this person, they're just wrong. They're wrong in what they think, and they need to be told. They need to change. But, I think about, as I look at John's life, I think about the humility and the love that I think characterized his life. And I think Richard mentioned last night that, one of the big themes in John's writings is that of love. "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So it's that love, that humility that draws people to Jesus, I believe. Just a couple of other places here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Peter and John were called on to do some overseer work there in Samaria. Verse 14 of John 8. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was not yet coming to them. They had been baptized into the name of Jesus. When Peter and John placed their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about Peter and John, you know, being called on to go. This was kind of a new work of the Lord. The people didn't have a complete understanding, but Peter and John, as the pillars in the church, so to speak, as the leaders in the church, were called to go. But it was interesting to me to note that they went and did the work that they needed to do, and then they blessed the people there to continue on reaching people with the gospel, and they left. They didn't come in some kind of heavy-handed way and say, okay, we're going to have to straighten you out. They just went in and just spent a little bit of time there. They blessed those new Christians to do their work of reaching people with the gospel. Verse 25, after, of course, they had the incident there with Simon and had to be corrected by Peter, because he thought the gift of the Holy Spirit could be bought with money, and they took care of that. But verse 25, when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So as overseers, we bless the leaders in the churches that we are part of. We don't try to run those churches. That's not our job. That wasn't Peter and John's job here. But when called on, we go in, we offer guidance, we offer help as needed. We bless the leaders there to do the work. We don't overstay. We don't go and say, hey, this, I'm going to have to take over for a while. No, we help them. But then we as overseers continue to minister to people coming and going. I thought about that, verse 25. They returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages, sort of coming and going. Just wherever we are, we're sharing the good news of the gospel. As I think about the love that John talked so much about, he talked about, we love in 1 John, we love because God first loved us. It was like God just flooded him with his love, and then that love went out from him. God changed John's life, I believe. You remember the story? I won't take time to turn to it, but in Luke chapter 9, probably one of the reasons that he got the name Son of Thunder. You remember the story where Jesus and his disciples were going to Jerusalem, and as they were going through Samaria, Jesus sent some messengers on ahead to a village to try to make accommodations for them. But they were not accepted in that village because they were on their way to Jerusalem. And so James and John said to Jesus, "You want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" That doesn't sound a lot like love, does it? It was boldness, certainly. And it says Jesus rebuked them and they went on. So God had to do a work of changing John and taking that boldness and bathing it in love. And what a powerful combination that is when there's boldness bathed in love. Everything he did was bathed in the love of God. And just one other thing I just wanted to mention. In blessing those that we work with, even though they may be called to a different kind of ministry, in Galatians chapter 2, this was Paul speaking. Of course, Paul was called to the Gentile people, and that brought some problems to some of the Jewish people who had some questions about what all are we going to require these new Gentile believers to do. In Acts chapter 15, you read about the conference that they had in trying to decide what all is going to be required. But I was blessed in reading what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 8. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. I like that. These three who were pillars in the church gave to Barnabas and me, sort of the new guys, the right hand of fellowship and blessed us to go and do the work that God has called us to. So there may be some people in the churches that we oversee that feel like their ministry or the way they want to do things is a little different than the way we all have always done it. They may sing their songs a little differently. They may not, you know, sing the four-part harmony a cappella singing like we've always sung. They may kind of say some things in the elders' meetings that they shouldn't say. But you know, if we're all working in the kingdom of God, let's bless each other to go and do the work that God has called us to do. So we lead with boldness, bathed in love and humility. That's what John did. Anybody got a thought that you want to give this morning? Something God has showed you. Oh, I said it's kind of neat. I'll give you a chance in just a minute. It's kind of neat when God just sort of orchestrates things here. I just noticed the one verse that of the last song we sang there. Teach me to love thee as thine angels love, one holy passion filling all my frame. The baptism of heaven descended dove, my heart the altar and thy love flame. As Christians, everything we do flows out of the love that God has poured into our heart. And then I thought about that reading that we did and call down blessings on your persecutors, blessings and not curses. Even though they may differ from us, even though they may not welcome us because we're on our way to Jerusalem or something like that, rather than calling down curses, calling down fire from heaven, we call down the blessing of God on people. So anyway, anybody got something you want to say? I'm finished talking. I'll let you talk if you want to. Anybody? Okay, if not,
I'm enjoying looking over John's shoulder. Why don't we take about a five or let's be? Can we be back? Can we be back here at 10:30? Fill up and empty out. All right, let's try and be back by 10:30.